Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. Please enjoy the following message.
You got your Bible, go with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matayo, Zahupu, Ono. Namatafayupu, Luspurman. Some of you are getting nightmares when you're doing someone. You thought you were really in White Sunday. Matthew chapter 6 verse 25, it says, we're going to read from there to the end of the chapter. I'll have it up on the screen as well. My good friend Michael will help me there. Just follow me. It says, therefore I tell you, this is Jesus talking, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothing. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. And yet, your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like any one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Some of you are asking that question about after this, right? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Now, as we're going into Matthew 6, I want to set this up, because actually I'm going through the whole chapter, but I'll, you know, just for the sake of time. And again, hopefully this sermon will prompt you to want to go back and actually read Matthew chapter 6 yourself. Because the whole idea behind these sermons is not for as your soul spiritual feeding, so to speak. Because this is something that I've chewed on and I'm communicating to you. But my heart is for you to take what I'm teaching you today and actually go back in your own time and divulge yourself and what God is showing us. But by way of looking at the verses which come before the verses that we just read, Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 24. I'm just going to give it to you real quick. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 24 speak about four different things. Okay? It's giving, prayer, fasting, and finances. Now, of the first three, okay, especially the first three, but also the last one, you'll see this phrase repeated. It says, truly I say to you, they have received their reward. How many of you have heard that before? He says that of people who are giving. If they give, for instance, right now we just took up our tithes and offerings, and you know, not that you've ever seen this, but there are people sometimes that make a big announcement about what they give. There's actually denominations in traditional churches that make announcements about what they give. Now, there may be different motives, and some of those motives may be good. Some of those motives may not be good. But what the motive of what the scripture is getting at is that those people who make a big deal about what they give in public have received their reward already. And so our heart, which is the next phrase that that comes, is the phrase in secret. God honors what is done in secret. Everybody say in secret.
In secret.
Okay, so those two phrases. Now think about it. And with regards to prayer, he says those who go and pray in there. How many of you have heard the term prayer closet? Okay. I don't know how big your closets are, but for a someone like me, I close the door, turn around, the door's open again because there is a part of my body that opens the door again. So you need a big closet for a brother like me, I'm just saying. But, you know, it talks, that actual phrase prayer closet comes from that, that portion of scripture. You go into a place that is secret and pray. God is more interested about the part of your Christianity that is secret, because that's what it's founded on. For instance, when this building was built, due to the height and the width and the breadth of this building, there would have to be the appropriate foundation in order for this building to stand on it. The foundation is the part of the building that you do not see. And so the foundation has to be built. Unfortunately, within Christianity, a lot of times there are people who build 20-story tall lives with only inch-thick foundations. What by foundations, I mean the part of your Christianity that is secret. That the part of your Christianity in terms of your own first-hand revelation of who God is. There's a word in Greek called rhema, which is the direct revelation of how God speaks to you personally. Okay, God speaks to you directly. And that's revelation. And that's what God wants to found, wants you to found your Christian, find your Christianity. Found your Christianity upon. Psalm 1 also talks about, you know, he who meditates on the word day and night is like a tree planted by streams of living water. What is it about a tree planted by streams of living water? It's the root structure that is deep into the ground that takes the nutrients, or as Nacho Libre would say, the nutrients from the ground in order for it to grow. The root structure matches the breadth of the growth of that tree. Are you with me tonight? If you know, a lot of preachers will preach destiny, and that's great, but I'm here to tell you, if you want to shoot forward in what God has for you, you need a solid foundation. God wants to establish that part of your life with Christ that is in secret. How is your prayer life? How is your, you know, when you give, and it's unfortunate at times, you know, like some people will give up their time or give up their finances or give up their giftings, but they're more concerned about who's watching them do it than they are about, Lord, take my life. After all you've done for me at the cross, this is the least I can do. It's more about, how come I didn't get in the Sydney Morning Herald? I did the same thing. We went and picked them up. You know, like, we're more concerned about how we appear. I'm just being real with you. No, that's not the way I feel, but like, some of you are looking at me. Oh, he's supposed to be my pastor. It's a cool guy. No, I'm serious about this, because some of you will second guess your motives and say, why you even do stuff? Why you even volunteer for stuff? Why you even come to church? Some of you may even be tempted just to come to church because you're worried about what people might think of you if you don't show up. Oh, Rasheen's going to call me up. And you go, girl. You call him up. But that should not be the primary reason why you come. Because my sister's going to call you up. Because she loves you. That's why we're going to call you. The primary reason should be, look, I love God in the secret place. And let me go and worship with my corporate body, with my people, with my family. I mean, why not? This is a celebration. Of all, you know, after all he's done for us, this is the least we can do. So it's like, it's giving, it's praying, and then it's fasting. Again, I'm a work in progress, all right? Like, the Bible says that when you fast, you should wash your face, and no one should know you're fasting. It's hard, man. Like, I fast, but like, it's hard to not look like you're fasting, because, you know, my lips dragging along the ground. Get out of my way. I'm pressing in because I want Jesus. God is trying to get you to understand the part of your Christianity that really counts is that which is done in secret. The foundation, the root structure. Because that's what's going to determine the growth. Don't be too quick to run towards promotion or run towards advancement. Be quick to run towards pressing in the secret place. giving, fasting, sowing, even finances. So towards the end of that, you know, verses 22 to 25, Jesus begins to talk about no man should serve two masters. He must either hate one or love the other. And he goes directly to the wallet. He says that you must not love God and money. Now, both God and money. There's nothing wrong with money. Money is what we call amoral. What do I mean by amoral? There's immoral, there's moral, which is good, immoral, which is bad, amoral, dependent on how you use it. Time is amoral. Money is amoral. But how you use it will determine whether it's moral or immoral. You get what I'm saying? So it's not the money that is evil, because so many people misquote that scripture in 2 Timothy where it says, money, for the love of money is the root of all evil. It's when you exalt money over Jesus. And this is where we meet the scriptures that we just read. The way that we exalt money over Jesus becomes obvious in anxiety and how you worry. And it becomes really obvious in the determinant as to what you value the most. What do you value the most? You can, again, we already talked about the three P's. And I mean, we don't need to go there again, but that's an obvious sign as to what you value the most. And let's go back to the secret thing, because it'll determine the whole thing of value. Why secret? Why in secret? Secrecy speaks of intimacy. Of intimacy. Again, the deeper your intimacy with God, the greater your growth spiritually. There's a direct correlation between the two. Another aspect of secrecy is it speaks of security. It speaks of security. My security is in how I follow after God, how I chase after Him, not in how I follow after other things. My security is solely in Jesus. Can you honestly say, real talk, can you honestly say that that Jesus is more than enough for you? Or do you find yourself pursuing other things to fulfill you in ways that only Jesus can? What is your security? Secrecy also speaks of a preparation. This is where I want to drive the rest of my message at. It speaks of preparation. What do I mean by that? It's the practice. It's putting into practice that which, when you are put on a platform, you are ready to roll. The author Malcolm Gladwell. Some of you may have read the book Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell. He writes of another man who studied that, is the 10,000 hour rule. Have you heard about this? 10,000 hours, basically, for you. Some scholars would even say that it's even less than that. But 10,000 hours. This is what Malcolm Gladwell says. 10,000 hours. If you put time to practice a specific thing for 10,000 hours, you will become a world expert at whatever that thing is. And so he spoke about the Beatles, how the Beatles spent the 10,000 hours playing in CD, Navy, and Army clubs, hidden away, and practicing their chops, and practicing their songwriting, playing in these bars over and over and over and over and over again, that when they were brought to the stage, when they were brought to a time when prominence came, they were able to be the biggest rock band that the world's ever seen. It wasn't like the world would have perceived it as success overnight, but they didn't see the 10,000 hours that was used in preparation. If we use a biblical example, we use the example of David, who in 1 Samuel 16 was anointed to be king. You remember this? He didn't even show up to the audition. So Samuel is out there. In chapter 15, Saul, the scariest verse in the Bible is there. The Spirit of the Lord leaves Saul because he was disobedient. And so Samuel in chapter 16 is looking for a king to anoint. And so he calls on Jesse, who's a well-known father in the land. He says, okay, bring your sons. And so Jesse brings his sons. And they all show up for Israel King Idol. So they're all there at the audition. The first dude steps up and he's like, not you. Next, you know, next guy comes up, does his thing. That was absolutely terrible. This sounds like karaoke. You know, so next guy, he's gone through these brothers. And he's like, okay, none of your sons make it. Where is this all you got? This is how much Jesse believed in his son, David. He didn't even invite him to come on audition for the thing. But the time came and the anointing found him, because he had practiced God's presence in the secret place. He didn't look like a leader. Bible says that his face was ruddy, meaning that he was red. Some scholars would say he was pimply as well. So he finally got dragged to the audition, and that's the guy anointed. They anointed him as king. Next chapter, we find him defeating Goliath. Why could he defeat a giant? Because he had practiced in the secret place. If you want to be somebody who knows a life that outlasts yourself, you're going to have to take time to practice in the secret place, so that when the opportunity comes... See, the world would say, you know, you might get a guy like Tony Robbins who will teach you, like, you know, this opportunity meets preparation, and you know, and then you'll be a world changer. But I want to add something different, because, like, if you get those two things and you get the anointing of the Holy Spirit, my goodness, it's over. Whatever the devil has in front of you, it's over. That's the sort of destiny that's going to outlast. And that's the sort of person that God has designed you to be. But it's all about finding that security, finding that intimacy, and finding that place of preparation in the secret place. And so it's on that foundation that we want to move into the next verses. I just wanted to give you this quote. If you haven't forgotten everything that I just talked about, just take a picture of this and put it on Instagram. I don't care. But it says, we need to worry less about today's happiness and more about tomorrow's readiness. We need to worry less about today's happiness and more about tomorrow's readiness. It's all about preparation. It's all about preparation. Some of us don't like those sorts of things. Some of us don't like... I personally am a spontaneous person, okay? I'm very creative and artistic. And so, schedule, I'm trying to put that in my vocabulary. Budget, I'm trying to put that in my vocabulary. I'm a work in progress in these areas, but this is necessary. And we like to do these things with regards to the things of the world, like finances, like our time. But I want to take it a step further. How about your preparation spiritually? How much of your time, your talent, your ties in terms of your relationship and your treasures, your finances, are used towards that which you ideally, as a follower of Christ, value the most? If you really value him the most. And that's why Jesus speaks about these values. Colossians 3 verse 2 says, set your mind on things that are above. If you really value God, you must set your mind on him, and not on things that are on the earth. Now here's where Jesus speaks directly to the values. In verse 25 he says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink. Don't worry about your body or what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Pastor Joey Bonifacio speaks about this in his book, Lego Principle, for those of you who've read it. If you haven't, I think we've got some copies outside. But he speaks about value, that which you value. Talks about you value how you're going to be provided for, you value your image, and you value how you're going to be sustained. There's all mentioned in that verse. Just in very layman's terms, because Jesus liked to use layman's terms. But if you think about it, the things that tempt you to worry the most is how you're going to be provided for, what people think about you, and how you'll be sustained. How you'll be sustained. Not just financially, but like in relationally, spiritually, mentally, those things. And that those things usually determine what we value. So, for instance, if I value God, I understand that my security in terms of his provision for me is in him. I am created in his image, so I'm not overly concerned about how I appear before other people to the point where it cripples me to move forward in what he's called me to do. And I know that he will sustain me. Okay? Because other people will find other things to determine their provision, to determine their look and their image and what sustains them. Let me give you a bit of my story. For instance, before I was sold out before God, I was pursuing music in a very unholy way. And I got into DJing, and I really wanted to be a rap producer. I know it sounds corny now, but you know, praise God, I've gotten to do it in a holy way. But like back then, that's what defined me, was like, as a DJ, I'd be standing up there with my turntables and vinyl, remember vinyl? And you know, I'd be mixing. And if people were dancing, I'd feel good about myself because it was the image that I was trying to portray. And obviously at the end, if I was doing a big party, then I'd get paid. So my music was my source of provision. And it would sustain me because it would provide both emotionally, financially, and even mentally. Like, I was always constantly thinking about it weeks in between, because I'd be thinking about, oh man, I have to have the latest music. I have to go down to the record stores and make sure that I'm on top of my game. And so that consumed my mind, that consumed my heart, and the feedback that I would get would sustain me, and the finances would provide for me. But when it wouldn't work out, when the money wasn't as good as was promised, as you know, some people would promise some things and then the money wouldn't be as good, or you'd play stuff and people wouldn't dance, like, yeah, what song is that? I don't like that song. That would affect you, right? Because that was supposedly source of provision, your source of your image in front of people, and what would sustain you, but it's not doing what it's supposed to do. How many of you know Jesus Christ never fails in those areas?
Yeah.
When, as a source of provision, he has never failed. Never failed. There are times, though, that I doubted he might come through. Just being real. I know none of you have done that. Just got those friends that may have, but not you, because you're spiritual and all that. Even in ministry, I'm going to let you in. We're going to go deeper than Oprah here, and I'm just going to let you see my soul. But even in ministry, there were times that I'd be preaching a word like this, and I would be more concerned about what you all would think than what he would think, whether I delivered the word right.
Yeah.
But, oh, no one came up to me afterwards and said, oh, great job, Pastor Nelly. The one guy that did, I didn't want to hear from him anyway. He always says it, I'm like, ah, go away. You know? It's amazing how insecure some of us ministers can be. And it's a dangerous place to be in. But how many of you can honestly say that God is your source of all these things? God is the determinant of what you value the most, what holds ultimate value in your life. Let's move on. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Let me just stop there. That should encourage you. Some of you, like myself, you start off with a day in prayer, and you're like, God, we're going to do it today. This is the day, Lord, that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it for the Lord. It's good. You know, I'm walking around praying like this, and then 15 minutes later, one of my kids comes out and just, Dad, where's my breakfast? You know, it's just like, oh man, the spirit has left the building. None of you, again, you might have friends, none of you are like this. But how many of you are thankful it says, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day? You get another chance to make it right. How many of you are thankful that his mercies are new every morning? For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. This is where I wanted to focus in on here on this verse. Are you looking at the things that are seen? More concerned about your image on Facebook than you are and how God looks at you? Focusing on what is unseen. For the things that are seen are transient. Other versions say temporary. But the things that are unseen are eternal. Let's move on. Go to verse 26 of chapter 6 in Matthew. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Let me just ask you that question. Look up at me real quick. Are you not of more value than they? I mean, moving here to Brisbane, there's been some crazy birds around this place, man. Hey, you know, you go to other places, the birds are like, man, my backyard, what the heck sort of birds are these, man? Little demonic birds coming around here, chewing on my trampoline, my kids' shoes, magpies. But you don't see them complaining. They all are provided for. God takes care of them all. I know it sounds like a complaint when they go, wah, wah, but it's not a complaint. They are not complaining. They are being provided. They're being taken care of. I remember, you know, growing up, I watched it for the first time in like 20 years. Sister Act 2. And I remember after Lauryn Hill sang His Eyes on the Sparrow in that scene in the church, like every Samoan youth group after that was trying to do that. His eyes. And they didn't know what they were singing in terms of the words. But this is exactly right. If you think about it, that's taken from the book of Luke. That his eye is on, if his eye is on those little birds outside, the rant rant birds, then you better believe his eye is on you. And he loves you so much that the God of ultimate value actually values you ultimately. Let me say that again. The God who holds ultimate value chooses to place ultimate value in you.
Yeah, that's good.
He values you. He values you because he loves you. He wasn't all talking. You know, when Jesus was walking the planet, he wasn't all talk with his teachings. And this being one of them, the greatest one, Sermon on the Mount. But he valued you so much, he laid down what was dearest to him because he valued you. You hold ultimate value in his heart. Are you not of more value than they? So my next question is, what or who holds ultimate value in your heart? Verse 27 says, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and thrown in the oven tomorrow, which will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, don't be anxious.
Don't be anxious.
Don't be anxious. Saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Now, here's where we're landing, guys. We're going to close this down. I'm going to shut this down now. We're landing on the most popular verse of this chapter, which is verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All these things will be added to you. But seek first the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? Simply put, the kingdom of God is where Jesus is the king. That's it in simple terms. Very simple terms. There are other more elaborate definitions of what the kingdom of God is, and those all may be valid. But what I'm here to tell you today, that the kingdom of God is where God is the king. Can you honestly say that God is the king of every area of your life? That is lordship, where he takes kingship in every area of your life. When you look at your finances, and the way you spend money, can you honestly say that he is Lord of your finances? When God moves in a moment of generosity, not just here and during the time of tithes and offerings, but like, you know, God speaks to you and he says, hey, I want you to bless that person. I want you to sow into this, you know, this mission, missionary activity that's going on here. And you kind of wrestle with that. I'll tell you the truth. It is a wrestling point, which is why Jesus mentioned it in verses before. It's going to be a wrestling point, but you need to make a conscious decision. No, God is the Lord of my finances. He is my source of sustenance. He is my ultimate value. And I know He values me ultimately, so I'll move in the economy of the kingdom rather than my own economy. Because you know what? My economy is bound to fail. And you may think that this little bank interest that happens when you put your money in and with those interest rates are good. I'm here to tell you that God moves in terms of 30, 60, and 100-fold. That's the way He rolls. That's not 30%, 60%. It's, do you understand that twofold means 100%? So, like, it's exponentially greater than anything you could ever ask or think. That's the way He rolls. So seek first His kingdom. I put there on the screen four areas. Your time. How you spend your time. How do you honestly spend your time? Is He the King? Is He the Lord of the way you spend your time? Seek first. First in terms of priority, but also first in terms of the morning. Do you set aside time in the morning? Or are you like some people that use your phone as an alarm? And the moment that the alarm goes off, you look at your phone and there's all those messages waiting, like, read me. Especially those little ones with the blue F. Someone commented on your post and you're like, image, sustain. Oh, do I know? Some of us need to learn to accidentally leave our phones in the car or in our bag or in the living room. Myself included, I'm just saying this for all of us. But if He's Lord of our time, then we seek Him first thing and first in terms of priority, and then the whole day belongs to Him. Time, your talent, how we, you know, did you realize that the gifts that God has given to you were from Him? So there's an aspect of it that really is theologically incorrect when you say, I'm giving my gifts to God, like there is a refund or something. Because He gave them to you in the first place. The way that you, I know what you mean, but it's not really right. The way that you give of your talent is the way you practice in the secret place. God wants you to be a world changer in whatever field you're in, and that's why He's gifted you that way. So in order to be excellent at a world standard, you need to practice in the secret things. For instance, myself as a musician, or myself as a preacher of God's word, I need to practice doing this in the secret place with the audience of one. That's how I worship Him with my talent, not going up at the Grammy Awards, you know, wearing a Speedo and saying, you know, give all glory to God, you know, like some of these R&B singers. I practice to honor God in the secret place, by the way, by practicing, so that when God brings me in any platform, whether small or large, I'll give Him all the glory. So that's the talent. The ties speak of our friendships. Is God honored in the way that you are in relationship with one another? The way you relate to one another? Can you honestly say that there is no one in the world that you can't love? That you would walk into a room and you would love the way that Jesus loves. If not, like me, ask for a heart like Jesus that would love the most unlovable. How many of you know that there are probably friends around you that are easy to love? But then there are those friends that are in your life to make you more like Jesus. Because they are like sandpaper. They rub you the wrong way, but they're there to smooth out those rough edges in your own life. You need to thank God for those people in your life. Your ties. Are all of your relationships, your friendships, are they honoring to God? There are some friendships for some of you in this room that whenever you're around them, they tempt you. They're the ones evangelizing you towards the wrong sort of lifestyle, where it doesn't honor God. They're the ones that are doing the outreach to you. And they're drawing you back into old habits by being around those people. Can you honestly say that He's the King in the kingdom of those relationships? Now, hear me right. I'm not saying don't relate to people who do not know God. Because sinners will act like sinners. But the Bible also says do not be yoked with unbelievers. Which means don't let them take you down. But you be the influence in their lives. If it's a place of hardship, get accountability. But God may be honestly speaking to you to cut those ties. Because they're not honoring God in the way that they drive you down the wrong direction. Kingdom relationships. Kingdom relationships. Lastly, your treasure. And I've spoken on that already. Is He Lord of your wallet? Is He Lord of your finances? Is He Lord of your budget? Honestly, if God told you to give it all away, would you give it all away? Just to say, man, you know what? He is Lord of all. Now, I'm not saying He's doing that right now, but if He did, could you honestly say, here I am to worship, and just throw the whole thing? Oh, but you know, look, He's after your heart. He just knows your heart is linked, it has a chain to your wallet. And that's why he speaks specifically to finances when He says, you cannot love both God and money. Money is amoral, but if it chains you towards idolatry, then it is an idol, it becomes immoral. So it's those areas. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. That's the gospel. I hope you all realize that none of you are righteous because of anything you've done. But you're righteous. You're in right standing with God because of what He's already done. Because He holds you in ultimate value. And when it was His time to say, okay, I value you. He didn't just go in the Sermon on the Mount and say, everybody, I value you. In Jesus, my name. Amen. He didn't just, okay, servants, write this down. I value them. When it was His time to throw it all into the offering bag, He did. He threw His life into the offering bag. Because He values you. And so when He says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, He's not speaking from a place of insecurity. He's speaking from a place of you being valued. If you just trust Me with your finances, with your time, with your gifting, with everything that you have, all these things, everybody say all. All these things will be added to you. Everything you can ever ask or imagine. But Ephesians 3:20 says that, for He is able to do exceeding abundantly, above and beyond anything you could ever ask or imagine. Imagine the greatest, most blessed you, not just financially, but relationally. In every aspect. Imagine the most thriving you. God says in His word, He exceeds and goes way beyond anything you could even imagine. My imagination is pretty wild. And I can imagine a really blessed me. God says, I can go beyond what you're thinking. Right? Like, some of you are like, oh, no, I'm humble. Whatever, man. Whatever. God wants to bless you. But it all, see, here's where I'm not preaching the prosperity gospel. He wants to bless you, but it is going to come with a cost. And it's laying your life down that others may know that it's all about His kingdom. It's all about His righteousness. Not our self-righteousness, His righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. This is the sort of church we are. And I'm here to tell you today, not the organization here in Brisbane, but the church, the relationships that we have with God will far outlast any of us in this room. So I want to pray for you, and we're going to close. Maybe we'll stand to our feet at this time. where you are, if you've been battling with anxiety and fear and worry and doubt, or maybe you've been battling with the whole temptation towards idolatry, and you've been thinking, man, you know what, I've really put myself or put other things in the place of ultimate value. But right now, I really want to trust my God wholeheartedly. If that's you today, and again, you'll hear me say this from time to time, the universal sign for surrender is simply to lift your hands. Lift both hands and say, you know what? You hold ultimate value. You hold ultimate value. I'm handing over lordship to you. You are the king of the kingdom. Have your way in my finances. Have your way in my time. Have your way in my relationships. Have your way in my finances, God. God, my hands are up, not just as an example to my friends here, but my hands are up because I'm surrendering it all to you, God. And Lord, with those who have lifted their hands, we come in recognition of the beautiful covenant that you initiated on the cross. The new covenant that we have in you. You laid your life down. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. We thank you that you forgive us for the sin of idolatry, for putting our trust in other things rather than putting our trust solely in you. Today we declare that we will seek first your kingdom in our time, in our talent, in our tithes, and in our treasures. We will seek first your kingdom. We will seek first your righteousness. We'll preach the gospel to ourselves every day, reminding ourselves of the price you paid in order to show us that we hold value in your sight. For God, you so loved us that you sent your one and only Son so that whoever, and that's us, believe in you will not die but have everlasting life. We thank you, God, that you hold ultimate value in our lives today. Let's just close with this prayer that we sang earlier.
Is the glory forever. is a kingdom yours, is a power yours, is a glory forever. Amen. For yours is a kingdom yours, is a power yours, is a glory forever. Amen.
Bless you, King Jesus. Lord of our lives, Lord of our hearts, we declare that you are Lord of this church, Lord of our marriages, Lord of our finances, Lord of the gifts in this room, Lord of the relationships that we keep. Father, let your kingdom come, let your will be done in our lives as it is in heaven. Father, we just pray for an awesome week in you. Lord, let your spirit lead us beyond ourselves. Let your spirit lead us in conversations with people that would draw them closer to you. Let your spirit lead us to be generous with the things that you've given us. We give it all to you, God. We give it all to you tonight. Let this church be marked with generosity. Let this church be marked as a church who knows their God well. Let this church be marked with the spirit of the evangelist. Let this church be marked with your blood. And Father, I pray, Lord, for all of our activities, all the things that we have planned for this week, be Lord in our schedules. God, where there needs to be adjustment in our schedules, even before we leave this room, I pray, Father, that we would fill in those spaces with things that are glorifying to your name. Lord, for our appointments that we have with people that don't know Christ, Father, I'm praying, Lord, for the ordination of your Holy Spirit to be able to preach your gospel. And Father, we look forward to having spirit-led conversations with people that don't know you. For board meetings and strategy meetings, Father, I'm praying for our Holy Spirit strategies, God, that you would enable us to come up with ideas that just flatter men to the point of they're kneeling before the king of those ideas. You are a God who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond anything that we could ever ask of you. We thank you that as you are Lord, there is no other name. We submit our ways to you. We pray in Jesus' name. And everyone say amen.
Amen.
Can we give a praise? Come on. Come on, nothing deserves it tonight. Come on, give a more praise tonight. Take a seat real quick. Well, we're pretty much done tonight. Please, if you want to take a moment, the prayer cards that have gone around, please do. God is the God of the miraculous, and if you really need a miracle, like we're gonna pray for a couple of people tonight that are dealing with sickness. I believe that there's the anointing for healing here today, so we're gonna pray for those people. But please, if you do need something for God to move in miraculously, please write those things on the card. We're in faith with you, and we'd love to pray for you, ourselves, and the intercessory team of this church. And so we would love to stand with you in prayer. But I'm really excited, guys. I'm really excited for what God is doing in our midst. And I really believe that as we look beyond ourselves and we look to extend his kingdom beyond ourselves, there's going to be so many opportunities as a worldwide movement. You know, our church is one church of around going on towards 600 churches in 73 nations. And so we are a part of this global family of churches. So even just within our movement, there are so many opportunities to be a blessing in nations that are experiencing poverty like you'd never believe. Now, I know we have our definition of what poverty is, but when I've driven out to where we have poverty, we still have backyards. And where we've experienced and seen poverty in this world, you know, with Africa and Asia, it's some of the worst living conditions that no human should ever experience. And so we get to be a part of that too. So in the coming weeks, we're going to be talking about some of these opportunities that we will have both to go and to sow. And so as a church, you may be looking around going, well, we're just small, Pastor Nani. You know, we should wait until we grow and then we can, it starts now. If we change our hearts now, I really believe that God's going to increase our capacity for more as a local church, as we think globally, as we can be a blessing to some of these nations. Amen? So let's start with where we are this week. I want you to have your ears attuned to how the Holy Spirit would lead you to be generous in your giving of your time, your talent, your tithes, and your treasures. But on that note, God bless you. You're all dismissed. Have a great night, some tea and stuff outside. Have a great time of fellowship, and then a great week later on. If you need prayer for absolutely anything, please come forward. I'd love to pray for you. If you've made a decision today to follow Christ, we'd love to give you all that you need. And don't forget, if you want to be baptized next week, please come and see myself. Okay, God bless you all. Dismissed. Have a great one.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. Thank you for listening. God bless.